Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, Anton?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
The following statement contains spoilers for Season 2 of Young Royals. Stop your feed right now if you have not seen the end of Season 2, Episode 6. Okay, are you gone?
I think they're good.
The fact that Season 3 is going to be the first season of the show that begins with Wilhelm and Simon together as a couple. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
Anton, what are we talking about today?
Today, we will be discussing the latest production news for the upcoming third and final season of Young Royals. Specifically, we're talking about the fact that Season 3 has finished wrapping. Or has wrapped. That's however I want to say it.
I'm excited, but I'm going to cry. The nature of this episode being bonus content directly related to the plot of the show means that unlike all other episodes of our podcast, we will not restrict ourselves when it comes to spoilers. Anything both of us have watched is fair game, and we have both seen up through Season 2, Episode 6. We repeat that this episode could and likely will contain spoilers for the entire show up through Season 2, Episode 6. You have been doubly warned.
And if you count my cold open, you have been warmed three times. Apologies if I just spoiled Season 2 for you, but you only have yourself to blame if you keep listening. I feel really harsh doing these, but I'm like, I tried. I tried, okay? Please no one come for us on Instagram.
That'd be tough. Be tough.
Yes. Alrighty. All right. So, about my thing that I said in the cold open. People do talk about the fact that we're finally going to get them together at the start of a season, but they don't talk about it enough.
Is there an enough, though?
Exactly. This is why our cold open always says enough, because it's like just means that we think that it's not talked about to the level that we would like to see it talked about.
Which is also excruciating detail.
I really think now, like, we mentioned this show once or twice on the podcast before, and like I'm fully aware there are some people for whom these fandoms totally overlap, like the two of us, and there's also some people who very much do prefer Young Royals to Heartstopper, but we should definitely acknowledge, and I'm going to have to really bring up the fact that we've been putting this episode off for a weird amount of time, not necessarily putting off, but just like we haven't been able to find a time to record since they've wrapped. And like, we've both now watched Heartstopper Season 2, and definitely don't want to spoil it too much, but also I do not know to what extent spoilers for Heartstopper are a thing. I feel like you have to actively choose not to engage with Heartstopper content if you don't want to be spoiled, because the full story is already basically out, except for if you're talking about like what in the show would be like Season 4 stuff. Like, it's like,
Or Isaac,
or Imogen, or Ben in Season 2.
Talk about that guy, and that's not even people don't talk about. No. He shouldn't be talked about.
But I bring this up to say that in my head, when I was watching Heartstopper Season 2, couldn't help relating the idea that I have in my head of Young Royals Season 3 to Heartstopper Season 2, because spoilers for the end of Season 1 and the start of Season 2, if you've somehow not engaged with Heartstopper in any way, like, if you think it's kind of up your alley, like, try it out. It definitely is a different tone than Young Royals, but, like,
It's happy.
And that's what Margaret... That's
the
what I mean by...
The character smile.
I sent Margaret a Twitter post today that was, like, that was, like, a picture of, like, Edvin smiling in like a different show, and he's like, when are we gonna see Wilhelm smile like this? And he responded, never, all lowercase.
Have you seen the pictures of 5-year-old Edvin going around Twitter? And
yes,
like, I reposted something on our X, but I'm gonna call it Twitter. And it was somebody being like, Edvin, is your entire Twitter also pictures of you when you were five? And he just responded, yes.
Okay, but I say this to say that I basically have kind of implicitly spoiled, but now I will actually spoil. Heartstopper Season 2 is unique, in my opinion, based on my experience of having watched things and watched queer television specifically. It is the first season of a queer television show that I have ever seen where the main couple is not at risk of breaking up whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, only the strongest cynics could walk into Heartstopper Season 2 thinking Nick and Charlie are going to break up at any point.
The strongest cynics who never read the comics.
Yes, because it's like the comics make it even more obvious, because it's like if you read them like I did on like webtoons, like occasionally Alice Osman will just drop in future versions of them. They're like clearly together 10 years later, and I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, we're not having any sort of, like, this is turning into a dramatic irony situation where even if things look really bad, they're going to always stay together. And while I won't say or be as, like, I'm going to be mean to Margaret right now because I know we both get sensitive about this. I'm not going to go so far as to say that Young Royal Season 3 is entirely absent of the threat of them breaking up at some point.
Why would you say this to me?
I am honestly betting on there being an almost breakup that gets fixed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Margaret,
are you kidding? With their communication in air quotes style, which is not communicating?
Yeah.
They have not had two consecutive episodes where they are happy together. Or even one full episode.
See, now we're getting the full spoilers. Welcome to bonus episodes, y'all. We're excited for these because we are. If you haven't, I don't think we ever said it officially on the main podcast, but we are doing our best. And I literally cut stuff out where we accidentally spoil future episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna call Margaret out. Mostly when Margaret accidentally spoils future episodes, I'm pretty good about it.
Anton is pretty good about it. I just have a lot of feelings.
You do. And I'm at least good. I've at least watched enough reaction videos, so I have the whole show segmented up by episodes in my head, so I can know exactly if something Margaret just said is not pertinent to the current episode. I mean, there was one time I didn't catch it,
really,
but I did have to. I had to cut stuff out later, and it had to make it make sense. But regardless, with bonus episodes, we don't want to restrict ourselves that much because that doesn't make any sense. And so, yeah.
That means Mark gets to spoil as much as they want, and they will.
Yes, they will. And Anton finally gets to stop being the good boy who doesn't spoil things.
Good boy, Anton.
Okay. But briefly about Heartstopper is like, we don't need to go into any Heartstopper spoilers because it's not pertinent to this. But like, I'm just like, watching a queer show where like, it's simply because of the tone of the show, really.
Yeah.
Is that like, all the couples, once they're locked in, they're like locked in. Like, they're going to might have communication issues, but it's like, this isn't your classic teen drama. And I say that with all the love in my heart because I was very, very long and still kind of continue to be, but I've also kind of grown and matured from this. Like to some extent, although I'm a Young Royals fan, so how far have I matured from it? Of being a teen drama girly.
We got good boy Anton, teen drama girly.
All right. Teen drama baby, I guess. Cause I don't know what the male equivalent is, but also I use he, they pronouns, so.
A boyby.
That's terrible. I had that thought, but I didn't want to say it.
You have to leave that in, though.
I will.
Good.
The tone of, like, there is something very rejuvenating about Heartstopper, and both reading the comic and also now watching the show, that, like, is definitely like I love Young Royals with the bottom of my heart, and I do probably it does probably edge over Heartstopper a little bit in terms of like my enjoyment overall, although season two kind of made it a contender.
Season two did knock it out of the park. I still think I like Young Royals better.
I think so too. Like, I think I think my love for them is so vastly different.
Yeah.
And I like them for so vastly different reasons. Like, I think.
Yeah, like sometimes you need to watch season one, episode four. Like, sometimes you just need that in your life.
Yeah. I think, with absolutely zero shade to Heartstopper, as an English major, I have this kind of register in my brain of how quote unquote deep I see media being. Mm-hmm. And like, in the best way for either show, Young Royals is a bit deeper than Heartstopper.
Yeah.
Its goals are a bit larger, but that doesn't mean that they're any less, Heartstopper isn't any less important of a show.
Correct.
Like, I at the risk of potentially like pissing off certain people who strongly like Young Royals, but like are really somehow anti Heartstopper. Like, you can criticize Heartstopper, but you can also criticize Young Royals. And like, I do think that some of the hate for Heartstopper is people wanting it to be something else, and like,
mm-hmm.
almost,
it's a feel-good story.
Exactly. And I feel like you can criticize feel-good stories and like how much impact they have. Mm-hmm. But I have watched Young Royals and Heartstopper now with a friend of mine who's going to know who he is, but I haven't asked him whether or not I can say his name on the show. I can't remember if I mentioned it before.
I accidentally said his name.
Oh, right.
I think you had to cut it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably in one of the last two episodes that I haven't listened to yet. But this friend is one I've mentioned before on previous podcasts, and he has now watched Heartstopper seasons one and two with me. And we started Heartstopper, me fully expecting him. Like, I'm like, okay, Young Royals, like, based on stuff we've just watched, like, I think it's a bit of a sell, but I think he'll get it. Heartstopper, fully a shot in the dark. I was like, this man's is like a political science buff who like,
oh, what a guy. I love poli sci.
Who elections are like one of his favorite things to talk about. And like,
hell yeah.
Sorry, this person who I will not name for his sake, for calling out, like,
makes it sound like Voldemort.
But, his biggest things that he's recommended to me are like action and like spy, like procedural type things, or like intrigue, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, contemporary romance without any sort of political angle whatsoever, like literally slice of life contemporary romance. Like, but then like season two especially completely rocked his world. As Margaret knows, because now they have kind of met him over chat. And like, I really don't want to turn this, you know, thing. I just realized I've turned this into kind of a hard stop, like a little Heartstopper thing. But I finished
made
it
this into a commentary about your British friend.
I know. I finished
about your British boy.
I apologize, everyone, for turning this Heartstopper bonus content into Heartstopper content. And we will never do a thing on Heartstopper because Heartstopper gets enough hype as it is. And so like we decided a long time ago this podcast would never really be about Heartstopper. But like, I use it as a example of not what Young Royals season three should aspire to, because as I've said, they have totally different goals. But if what I say all of this to say, and I'm rambling all, I've rambled this long to say that I hope that Young Royals season 3, it's already been filmed and would not have been able to really take any pointers from Heartstopper season 2. But if it has even just a titch of the optimism of Heartstopper season 2, and like for at least a little bit, the fact that like yes, it's a realistic show, and our main couple does not have as good of a communication as Nick and Charlie do.
Wilmon could never do Nick and Charlie in episode 8 of season 2, let me tell you.
Oh, God.
Unless they have some severe character development, in which case I am here for that.
I think in 5 years, maybe. As of right now, though, no. But, like, also, to be fair, like, if you actually add up the amount of time that Wilmon has been together over the last 2 seasons, I'm pretty sure it's less.
45 minutes.
It's less than. It's. I mean, yeah, in the show, yeah, it's like 45 minutes. But like in terms of time, well, well, because the thing is, really frustrating thing is you can't count the first kiss as the start of the relationship.
That's true. So it's the night after the society.
Yep.
And that morning. And then it's...
We don't know how long Lucia is then after that.
Yeah. So up until Lucia...
So I would say max a week. Max a yeah. week. Max yeah. a week, and then they're broken up for months, and then they get back together in the last episode of season 2.
No, they kiss at the ball, at the Valentine's Day ball.
Yeah, but are they back together?
I don't know. They kiss, and then they have sex.
But that's in the next step. That's the next. I know,
but.
So yeah, less than 2 weeks at the very least.
At the most.
whereas Nick and Charlie have months of communication, yeah. on top yeah. of a months long friendship.
Yeah.
And so like we are looking at two couples at two very different stages of the relationship, and so like if we look at Nick and Charlie the first like month like. Week they were like technically dating. Okay, we're comparing apples to apples a little bit better, but okay, regardless, like,
are we though?
Okay, no, I said a little bit better. I'm like, not
Charlie,
like,
still ran out of his house to kiss him in the rain. You don't see Willa doing that.
but Willa's the Simon in this scenario, although I don't see Simon That's doing true. That either.
Could you imagine? I'd pay to see that scene. I would pay double my Netflix subscription to see that. Maybe yeah. triple. I yeah. did just spend $100 to mail a package. I'm not afraid. I spent $80 on a stuffed animal this summer.
Oh, God.
I just told my therapist I'm worried about money. Literally 2 hours ago. Jesus Christ. Okay, anyways.
No, yeah. I think...
So, Young Royals...
Yeah, okay. What is your response to everything I've said? I've really hogged the mic because I just have a lot of these thoughts that I need to get out, so...
And I needed to hear it because I had no idea where you were going with your notes.
Yeah,
I agree. I think I like both shows for two very different reasons. You know, if I want to feel happy, I'll watch Heartstopper. If I want to feel anything but happy, I'll watch Young Royals.
So real.
I'm sorry, I should not have said that while you were drinking water.
So real.
Young Royals is my favorite TV show of all time. It's my favorite TV show of all time.
Yeah, I personally think I have eras of TV shows. It is definitely my favorite of this era of my life.
Season 2 of Heartstopper kicks ass. Season 2 of Young Royals kicks ass. You can't compare them, in my opinion.
They kick ass in like opposite directions. It's crazy.
Exactly. They both did exactly what I needed them to do based on the story. And so for season 3, I don't feel like season 3 can take the optimism. that Heartstopper has, because I don't think it would be true to the story.
No, you're right. It can't really even aspire to even to anywhere close to a Heartstopper level of optimism. But what I will say is that actually Heartstopper season 2 did something that I haven't also that I actually haven't seen, and maybe I haven't seen enough queer television across the board to know this, because I'm still until Young Royals I did have a section where I was watching some Spanish TV shows, like as in from Spain, but Young Royals is probably like my third international show that I watched, in close to its entirety or a lot of it, in any meaningful capacity. And so, like, I'm very much limited to, like, English language stuff, mostly from the U.S. Or permission entirely from the U.S. But I think the fact that I know a lot of people were scared going in, and I don't know where the consensus is now, because I know I saw fear for this before season 2, but then after season 2, I forgot if we really checked in back with this conversation. Do you remember when we were terrified for a love triangle?
For season 2?
Yeah.
Of Young Royals?
Yeah.
Yes.
And, like, I think I actually kind of like how that was handled.
I think they needed it.
Exactly. And so I'm like, have you seen a male love? Well, it's in, I know some people are not curious about this and some people are. So I will say, it is technically like a love vertex or a love angle, because Marcus is not going to be interested in Villa at all.
Okay, but in most love triangles, it's one person interested in two people. It's not like...
Yeah, exactly. Like, colloquially, yes. Like, some people like to be particular about the geometry of it, which is... I don't know.
Sure, a love angle. But we also have to factor in Felice.
Exactly. So it's like... But, like, you're right. But I think, like... Bonus episodes are really where I have the compulsion to spoil everything now. Because I'm just like, my mean analysis brain is turning on and it can't stop from accessing spoilers. For Love, Victor season 2. If anyone's currently...
going really cross fandom.
But this is how I process media and also how I'm processing Young Royals season 3. So everyone has to kind of be here with me. And this is a bonus episode, so you can skip it if you want to. not like you should skip this episode, because if you're having a fun time, keep listening. But okay, so I'm sorry if anyone...
Also, isn't the show you're about to mention several years old?
It is finished, and it finished like multiple years ago. Yes.
Yeah, so we're good.
Yes, but if anyone is just like randomly catching Love, Victor on Hulu again, and you're in season 2 and you haven't finished it, sorry for this. But they do a love triangle in the second half of season 2 of Love, Victor. And Love, Victor, I watched it before I watched Young Royals and before I watched Heartstopper, because neither of them were out yet. Like, Love, Victor kind of came first in terms of, like, American television acts by Americans who could conceivably watch a male-male love story. And the love story between Benji and Victor is chaotic as fuck. Like, because the thing about Love, Victor, love it or however you feel about it, it is, as I've mentioned to Margaret has not seen it, but I have, like, it in its entirety, like, it is a teen, capital T teen drama, like in the way that one would expect a teen drama to act generally, which means that the communication, relationship, well, it does have like some queer elements to it, like Victor's family not really accepting him at first when he comes out, and then it kind of being stressful for Benji, who is like out of the closet and it took a long time to get out and doesn't want to really go back in or anything, and like doesn't want to feel like he's being judged or anything, which I think is the thing, is like, I thought it was handled okay, and then I saw both Heartstopper and Young Royals tackle that type of storyline better. And I can't even define how it was better, but it was better.
Can I just say,
yeah.
Valid.
Yeah.
I don't think until very recently, much queer media handled it well, because I think for a very long time, queer media was still being made by heterosexual people's idea of what being queer was.
And that's, like, I'm almost certain Love, Victor had some queer writers behind the scenes, but I'm pretty sure showrunners were straight. Love, Victor tries a lot of the time, but sometimes I feel like it shows and I can't even define why. But like basically like they're at risk of, I can't remember if they're at risk of breaking up their hat or they have broken up or whatever towards the end of season two. And then a few episodes before the end of season two, they introduce another love interest for the main character, Victor.
Jesus.
And like he is just he's a lovely love interest, but I was just like, you're doing the thing. Like you're doing the thing that we do, which is introduce a love interest for drama purposes that I want to root for a little bit, but I can't because I know how this show works. And it's like, you're trying to make me think it's a possibility to the point of, think about Love, Victor. Oh my God, why am I doing this? I don't know why, but I'm just going to keep going.
I think you have to at this point commit.
I know. Think about Love, Victor. Is that the first and second season, I've told Morgan this before, but they may have probably forgotten, have terrible cliffhangers. Season one, it's I'm gay, cut to black. Him coming out to his coming up to his parents, and we don't know the reaction until the start of season two. In season two, it ends with he goes to someone's door. Whose door did he go to? Like,
fuck.
Yeah, but also, that didn't feel like a real cliffhanger. Like you want it to be, but you introduced Raheem two or three episodes ago. Is he gonna do the new boy or the guy who's been introduced since the first episode?
First episode boy.
Like, and yes, that is what happens. But that, and it's like, why did you do that to me? Like, I felt dishonest.
Anton has beef.
And I just like, I don't know. Am I weird for finding that offensive? I don't know why. Like, I just don't.
No, there's something to be said when things are done for dramas.
Drama points are introduced
solely for drama. And then
you were the first, basically, to my knowledge, the first male, gay, not even male, like, the first, like, TV drama to feature a queer male protagonist. And you fucking pull this shit. I'm just like, again, you kind of just go to the show for like the level of like the kind of writing that you're looking for and everything. But it's just like, I don't know. What the fuck was my point here? I don't know. I'm losing the plot. Yes. Handling love triangles. This is what I was saying. Because the thing is, I knew from the writing, the writer, I'm pretty sure Lisa wrote all the episodes. Like, Lisa knew Marcus's fucking purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
fuck Marcus. We hate him in this household.
Yes. I can't remember if I cut out any of your, like, implicit acknowledgement of... I think I have. But, like, yeah. Just so you know, sorry for anyone who does stan Marcus to listen to this podcast. We have a lot of feelings about Marcus.
None of them are good. Except for the fact that the love triangle needed to happen, but he didn't have to be a dick.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that Lisa made him a dick for the story. Lisa can do no wrong. Marcus did everything wrong. There's a difference.
Yeah, and I think also Lisa was being a good writer by making Marcus a bit ambiguous.
Was it for ambiguous? Some people...
Based on people's reaction, I have to consider it ambiguous. And also, I kind of hate to say this twice in one episode, but also it's kind of my personality. Same. So, as the person with a bachelor's in English,
yes,
bachelor, Like, as someone who has spent 4 years, who spent 4 years of college analyzing stories, like, it, like, is kind of often a sign among academics of, like, high quality, like, literary art, if a story doesn't make all of its decisions for you, or, like, leaves things up to interpretation.
And my interpretation is that I hate Marcus.
and that is a valid reading, but I think it's very interesting to see press for Young Royal season 2, especially the stuff they do with Tommy. And like with
that,
like,
was
with,
interesting.
Where, like, they couldn't really go hard on Marcus.
No, they kept saying Team Marcus. Do you remember that?
I mean, I don't know how far they went Team Marcus, but I think they were like, I think they couldn't spoil the way their relationship ends up. And, like, based on how their relationship ends in season 1, yeah, I can tell how you beat Team Marcus. Like, like, and as, again, another part of my personality in this podcast, as someone who watches a lot of reaction videos on YouTube to Young Royals, like, I see people be on Marcus's, but, like, at least entertain Marcus, because they don't know don't necessarily know where it's going for the first few episodes. And then usually, like, pretty much all of them sour on him eventually. But, like,
yeah.
And if they don't sour when I think they're going to sour, it's because they're English speakers who missed a line of dialogue in the subtitles. A very important one. There's a channel I watch and love, but it's like they had to, like, correct themselves, like, either, like, the episode after or episode, like, it was, I'm thinking specifically of season 2, episode 3, and, like, they had to correct themselves, like, in either a reaction, like, or two after that one, being like, guys, we were talking and we missed part of that conversation, a very important part.
Yikes. And I'd so, scrapped, like, the video. I deleted
so,
it off
and,
my channel.
And so, like, they're, like, here they are, like, unintentionally standing Marcus for the next, like, few episodes. And I'm like, okay, part of that was also, like, you need to have picked up on other signs other than that one conversation. But yeah. Like,
Marcus sucks.
But also, to be fair, okay, I will call out their channel. It is called Demon Trash. And it is, and part of their brand is that they're problematic. We both are, but also should need to continue being in therapy because we kind of fall for the wrong fictional characters. They accept a certain amount of toxicity in their fictional relationships they stand that I do not.
No, I need things to be good.
Yeah, like, also fully understand, like, don't hold it against them too much because I do love them, but, like, they're August and Sarah shippers a little low key. But also they did a ship ranking video for everything they watched in 2022, and, like, they ranked them pretty high.
No,
they're like, we get it, okay, it's toxic, but we're toxic.
I think they might need to make a few more sessions. therapist. I hate Sarah and August. I understand it had to happen for the story, but that doesn't mean I'm happy about it.
We'll get there eventually.
No, honestly, I'm not looking forward to that.
I know. At this rate, guys, like, I don't know if some of you have done the math. I have, because I'm the editor of this podcast. We won't get to season 2 until probably well after season 3 has aired and like, we've watched all of it.
Oh, yeah. Big time. We're not even through episode 1 of season 1 yet.
Like,
at the recording of this episode.
Like, if we account for, like, if we account for, like, 3 months per episode of the show, which is what it's been so far.
And there's 6 episodes per season.
I calculated that. That's 4.5 years, Margaret.
Hell yes.
So I hope you guys are in this for the long haul. We're just going to keep doing this regardless. Like, the thing is, the thing about podcasts that they tell you is you don't really pay attention to listenership. Because if you want to be making it, you're just going to make it. And then people who listen. So
I actually looked at our stats the other night, and I was blown away.
Yeah, I love that people do listen to us, and I absolutely adore the people. I mean, last week you would have heard, or recently you would have heard an episode where we did little corrections. And I love everyone who has reached out. Because a lot of them are very, 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 very nice Swedish people who corrected us on things you heard in that episode about various ways that we got Swedish culture a bit off because we're Americans.
Yeah.
And so, like, I love everyone who has, we finally started getting comments where, like, people are, like, responding to the memes that I post on Instagram just like they would on any other meme on their Explore page.
I love reading those comments. Keep them coming. I love it.
Yeah. Like, not to directly date this podcast, but I posted the last Eric tweet before the Eric episode goes live tomorrow, and it was something that we mentioned in the Eric episode, which is the thing that was almost certainly not scripted of them stumbling up the stairs on we run on three. And it was like this Tumblr post about how like that was definitely not scripted, right? And I was and then there were two comments being like, "Yep, as far as I know," like they just like directly answered the meme, and I was like, "Cool,
thank you."
Oh gosh, this is such this is a bonus episode, so I'm fine with this being chaotic.
That's why we did this one first.
Yes.
Oh yeah, after this we're recording our This Week in Hlarska.
Yes.
That is going to take about 8 hours to record. Yeah,
which you can listen to right now because
you're right.
Because we didn't make it official because it wasn't official the last time we did this, but we've decided that bonus episodes will think of something bonus to release concurrent with This Week at Hlarska, because if you've seen the show, This Week at Hlarska is a bit redundant. I mean, I love that that's still kind of our most listened to episode.
It makes it worth it.
I know it's been up the longest, but we were both so nervous recording that episode.
Episode sucked to record just because neither of us were comfortable doing it, and so it was brutal.
Yeah, and so like, much love to the people who have stuck with us through that. Let's hope the other seven episode is better. Because I tried to up my writing game a little bit.
I shamelessly plugged how in love with Edvin I am. God, I'm so in love with him.
And so
I also did that on our Twitter. Look out for that.
Yeah. And so like or our ex.
No. no, that makes me feel like I'm looking at porn.
Which is what Mark
said. Why did Lives Have a Hook just start playing in my ear? What is happening?
Sorry. But if you want to hear us, like, I know some people actually have seemed to appreciate our summary episodes because we point out, by writing down everything that we see happen in the, that plot-wise happens in the episode, we catch things that some people haven't seen before. Which is cool.
That is cool.
But that's mostly as said in those episodes, like those episodes are for us, so we can remind ourselves like what'll happen in this episode and like what are details that we can try to start gathering to discuss.
Can you imagine how much I'd spoil if we didn't do This Week in Hlarska's? Whew.
Exactly. This is it is for both of us for many, many reasons, but like it is especially helpful for Margaret, who doesn't watch reaction content and just watches the show on loop all the time. All plot points exist the same distance away from Margaret.
Yeah. Because I'll just jump into an episode and I'm like, 4 seems like a good place to start. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I need to call my therapist.
Okay. We should get into what I said we were going to do and prepare in a little bit. And we can probably do another bonus episode if we're hurting for content, like to do it more in depth. But like, I guess just general wishes for season 3. And do you want to stake any claims now that we won't hold it, that neither of us will hold against each other? Or hope our audience won't hold against us if we're totally wrong. But like,
start where we left off. Yes. I need to see the second after his speech is over.
Yes, we mentioned this.
I need to see how he finishes the speech. I need to see how his mom reacts when he sits down.
I do. I personally think, and I will say, I would love for that to happen. But based on how season two starts, I don't know if that's how Lisa does things. But I think what is a little bit more Lisa way to start, I pitch you this. It's not immediately after, but it's pretty close, where it is basically just like, because we usually start at like sensory overload usually, right? Or just something like a lot, like heavy breathing, basically.
Mm-hmm. What if it's the queen yelling at him?
It could be.
In the music room.
I could definitely think hear it being like, see it maybe being like, okay, I have two ideas. One is like, it's like distant yelling that comes closer and closer and closer as like the sound comes in. And then it's the queen just berating Wilhelm. But Simon has to be sitting next to him. We're not separating them. They're going to try. I think they're going to try, but I don't want them to. No. And like, at least for the first episode.
Can't happen.
And so like.
Can't happen.
And so alternatively, I would also take them running from the press, or like forcing Wilhelm to run from the press. Like away
like
from.
Like actually run like on his feet or like being driven away.
Either.
Okay.
But also, I know I've pitched this to you before, and I want this so goddamn bad. And if I call it, I'm going to be so happy. But also, like, it's a bit... I know it's I feel like it's a tiny bit fanficky, but I could see the show doing it, and I don't care. Because I'm just going to lay my claim now on this recording that will go out and be permanent. I don't care if it's, like, right... It has to be near the beginning of the episode. But as they're rushing Wilhelm to the limo... Simon manages to catch up and Wilhelm pushes Simon into the limo in front of him so they can't not bring him to the palace with them.
Yeah. That's the dream.
Like, regardless, like, any conversations had with Wilhelm should be made with Simon present. And if they are not, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed in Wilhelm that he didn't fight harder. And, like, can't entirely be in his control. Like, there could be extenuating circumstances that mean it's not possible. But I really think and hope that Wilhelm will make every effort to make sure Simon is included in those discussions.
Yeah.
At least that is my hope if he has learned anything from season two and season one. Like,
you know what I want to happen?
What?
I want, while Simon is in the room, for Christina to mention the time he almost abdicated on Instagram Live. So Simon can be like, hey man, what the fuck? You told your mom you were going to renounce the crown.
What I want him to do, and I think this conversation feels like it was set up. Assuming that when this conversation was written between Christina and Wilhelm, that Lisa knew how the scene was going to end. If Christina was like, what the hell did you do? And Wilhelm is like, I came out on my own terms. So that's what you said you wanted.
Yes.
Because
that's
like
all I want.
Because the thing is, she wanted him to come out on his own terms, but she had the stipulation of waiting until he was 18, which is not on his own terms, funny enough.
Correct.
I feel like that's an ironic thing that they don't talk, that not enough people talk about. Like,
yeah.
And we will get there eventually. And I will probably talk about it then if I remember. Like the fact that it is not like
it's her terms.
Yes. There are some people who are kind of won over a little bit by Christina by that conversation.
No.
And I'm just
I'm not.
Are you not reading between the lines here? Like,
yeah, it's when it's convenient, when you've turned 18, hopefully you grow out of this. But I guess if you haven't by the time you're 18.
Like, it's also, like, underlying between all that, like, even at your most charitable, she is saying that she doesn't think Wilhelm is old enough to make this decision himself.
Right, but it is...
Exactly, which is means, like, he's...
personal.
Which, like, means that she doesn't think he is old enough to come out.
Right.
Which means she is suppressing his sexuality,
mm-hmm.
which means she is handling him like the Queen of Sweden and not treating him like her son. It is like you can definitely say that like you feel better about her maybe than you did at the end of season one, because the end of season one, like, we fucking hate her.
I still fucking hate her.
I know. I mean, I do to some extent. But I think, I mean, it's like, and it's like, I do constantly wonder, because of a certain like difference in dialogue, like how much Queen Christina is bullshitting in hindsight, about how she actually feels about Wilhelm's sexuality, because like she was gung-ho about getting him to make the speech denying the video.
Right.
And like, if you were only doing that to avoid the scandal of a sex tape, you didn't make that, you didn't communicate that clearly at all. And maybe she realized that in hindsight. But like, I do also wonder if like she came to a conclusion later that was a little bit more accepting, and then said, and then like figured out how to say the right thing when Wilhelm finally pushed her on it. Like, she like literally told him, "Is this forever?"
Yeah.
Like, she doubted the like validity of his attraction.
Right.
And she also okay. This is basically, this is a privilege punishment that is going to be a long time coming. But like, discovering that Eric had a relationship with an OnlyFans girl.
Hell yeah.
Like, makes you, does put this in a different context that people sometimes like to try to, that people you can't argue for. That like, what she was saying is that like, no relationships from the royal family are public until they have been properly vetted. Even straight ones. Which is inherently classist, though. Like, is the thing. It's like, even if it's not homophobia, it's classism. Like,
it's both.
It's the monarchy. How can they not be classist? Like, I don't know. The whole thing is we're better than everyone. Like, I don't.
Right.
Okay. One last thing I think I want to close out, because I have to edit this, and it's already long enough. I'm going to have to edit this week of Lershka, which takes more editing chops that hopefully I haven't by now. Because I can't just let us repeat stuff or stutter, because so I have to actually edit within words, which I hate doing. So the one thing I have seen, wait, actually I should ask, do you want to know anything about season three that the actors have vaguely talked about? I'm assuming you probably already know it.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, they were asked what their favorite, Omar and Edvin on Rap Day were asked what their favorite scene to shoot was.
Yeah.
And I think Edvin, said the last scene or something like that. Which I'm excited about that. If Edvin likes the last scene, like, that's good. Then Omar just said that night we shot in the forest.
Yeah, they were like in the woods all night.
In the woods all night. And I'm just like, what's that about?
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, we're almost through the entire school year. I don't exactly know the full school year, but we have to be close to the end of the whole school year, unless we're doing a time jump or anything to like the next school year or something like that. Like, which would be weird for the last season, honestly.
Yeah.
At least with the way teen dramas really work. I'm like, what the... What? I keep thinking, like, it has to be a Hlerska tradition we don't know about yet.
Yeah.
Almost certainly. Or maybe they go camping. Who the fuck knows? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Crown Prince of Sweden goes camping.
Wilhelm and Simon go domestic for one episode and just camp in the woods.
Jesus Christ.
That's not Young Royal style at all. That's a hard stop for episode I've ever heard one.
God damn it.
Although, to be fair, Hard Stop Season 2 is way more packed. Like, it was much more on level, overall level of pact. So I can't really say that anymore. Anyways, I just want to theorize about the forest scene. We might do more in-depth predictions in the future, but this was kind of just hype. Season 3 is wrapped. I would assume we're getting it end of this year or start of next year.
Yeah. I guess I don't know how long post-production lasts on shows.
Yeah, I mean, post-production is ending earlier in the year than it did last time, I think. Because I'm pretty sure last time post-production ended in, like, August. And then we got it in November. So if we account for that, that's 3 months post-production. Which feels fast.
That feels really fast. I mean, it's only 6 episodes.
Yeah. And they and if you count, and also I feel like it's crazy accounting for how long they were filming. Like, they only took like 2 weeks per episode, I think.
Yeah, it was fast.
Which is also fast, yeah. But anyways, before we both get too tired, we should wrap this episode and start doing our summary.
Yeah. Yeah, we should.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other pod-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram, @PeopleDon'tTalkAbout. We can't say what our next episode will be because this is a bonus episode that will come out when it comes out. Although in this case, our next episode will be the revolution for Simone and Wilhelm, which we will tell you in this week of Letters Go that it's also out with this. Revolution about season 1, episode 2. That's what I meant. Because revolution is always about Simon and Wilhelm. Anyways, listen to the end of the... Never mind. That's not pertinent anymore. We're great at podcasting, y'all. And with that, all that's left to say is...
Let's start a revolution, baby. That was the roughest one we've done to date.
Oh, you haven't heard all of them.
Fuck.